Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, folks? This is The Diary, and this is Black People Business Wednesday. And thank you very much for joining me. My name is Stacey F. Johnson, and I am the director and founder of the Association of African American Single Mothers. And we are a nonprofit organization that kind of been floating around for about 10 years because the founder and owner has been an African American single mother, trying to get on her feet, but with a vision and a hope for all moms. And, you know, this is a very good week. This is Black People Business Wednesday, where we talk about Black people business, and this is a good week for me. And I want to make sure I get through everything. We only have 30 minutes. Today is Wednesday, the 15th, and this was a very good week for me. But I want to make sure we do. This week we're going to talk about, we're going to finish up with the Montgomery bus boycott, and we're going to talk about the sit-in. And the whole point of Black People Business Wednesday is to go over some Black history. And thank you very much for the 122 people that listened last week. And that just lets me know that, you know what, we should be hungry for Black history, because Black history is American history. And it is a good history, and it's a history we need to know and understand. And if we embraced it more, we wouldn't be such a hateful country. We wouldn't be doing the things that we're doing right now, and people just spending billions of dollars trying to prove that one side is worse than the other, and this wouldn't happen if one president, the sitting president, wasn't a Black man, and the one trying to get in was white. It wouldn't happen. So this is Black People Business Wednesday. So we want to talk about a couple of things, and I want to thank God, and I just want to, first of all, always thank God for the opportunity to reach people this way. This is a very good way, a cheap way for me, and it's a very effective way. And every day I wake up, I thank God for the opportunity to do what I do, whether it is my nonprofit or my for-profit. I give God all the glory for everything that he's done in my life, whether it's the awesome parents that he's given me, the awesome children that he's given me, the awesome life that he has given me. I thank God for it, and I thank him for it every day, and I thank God for you. So, Black People Business Wednesday, and we're talking about Montgomery bus boycott. But what I want to say, you know, civil rights is you. If you're a Black person in America and you see anybody being mistreated and you know it's wrong, civil rights, that's you. And what I was able to do where I live, and I was very pleased to see it. Long story short, because I got to get through all of this stuff. But I made a decision because I know the law, and I know my rights. And I know I'm almost 50 years old, although I look fantastic. But I'm almost 50. I know my rights, and I know other people's rights. So basically, I invoked a couple of my rights, and I wrote a nice little letter to the management of where I live, and I wrote them a certified letter that if they didn't do blah, 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 I'm refusing to pay my rent until you do blah, 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 blah. Well, one of the very first things I told them that I'm refusing to do is pay my rent, because this pool that they have, and I'm going to post pictures on my Facebook page, so be my friend, you can see. Well, I don't think you have to be my friend to see. But it's like a guava, algae mess. And if you, nobody would get in it, and it's summer. And so a couple things went down, so I said, you know what, I know my rights, I know the rights of everybody else in here, I'm going to invoke my rights for the other people. Well, basically, I wrote them a letter, certified, sent it to them, return receipt requested, telling them I'm withholding my rent until they do blah, 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 first they fix the pool. Well, went to get my mail yesterday. What are they doing? Fixing the pool. They haven't contacted me at once because I showed them I'm an intelligent Negro, and I'm going to work on behalf of the other people that may not be so smart, but that if I were them and they were me, I would want somebody in the middle of summer to say, fix my pool so my kids can go swim. And you're lucky that Stacy's kids ain't of swimming age and live with Stacy, because that would have been done months ago. So basically what I did worked, and hopefully I will see kids swimming in that pool. I'm going to have to pay my rent. All right, so it's Black People Business Wednesday, where I handle Black people's business, whether it's in my own neighborhood where I live or in your neighborhood. But we need to be aware and aware of what's going on in our country. And to be politically ignorant is what I like to call it, is very dangerous. And today we're talking about, I think I named it, what the Republicans are doing to take us pre-1964. And in a nutshell, basically what they're doing is, in the states where, you know, they hold the majority, they're passing laws to take away the voting rights of individuals. So they have to have either IDs, licenses, blah, 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 a lot of things that those people in those particular parts of the country don't necessarily always have, unlike us city slickers. We got IDs, we got driver's license, we got birth certificates, and we carry them all with us. Well, some of the folks in the southern states don't do that, never have, never been to practice. So now the in-power Republicans are purposely passing laws to prevent them from voting in November. And it's working, and it's working, and it's crazy. And, you know, that's what Martin Luther King was killed for. A whole bunch of people were killed for. A whole bunch of people stood up for to give us the right to vote, at least give us the right to vote in this country. And because we're politically ignorant and we don't go out there and vote, we say, oh, it don't matter. Stuff like this happens. And, you know, Obama has to go out there and work twice as hard with half the money to get people to vote, while Republicans are going out there taking away the rights. So what we're discussing right now and what I'm going to try to discuss, we're going to go and finish up with the Montgomery bus boycott. And I read through this 1,000 times so I can go through it quickly at the end of a busy day. I love doing this more than I love my for-profit. I wish I could do this all the time, but I can't. So we're going to try to go through it and just – what I'd like to point out is that, you know, it took Black people with character and courage and, you know, just saying, you know what, this isn't right. I want better for myself. They just didn't sit by and let shit just happen. That's what we're doing now. We're just sitting by and we letting stuff happen. Stuff is just happening. We don't have Black leaders like this, and this is what we need. So let's go. Because I need to get this going and I need to get it finished so we can do the sit-in. Okay. The bus boycott, let's see, started December. Oh, I love December. I love December. That's when I was born. I love December. December 1st, 1965. It was the day when the Blacks of Montgomery, Alabama decided that they would boycott the city buses until they could sit anywhere they wanted. Instead of being regulated to the Black section, and had to move basically when whites boarded. It was not, however, the day that it started. Okay, and that's what they want to point out. It says perhaps the movement started on the day in 1943 when the Black seamstress named Rosa Parks paid her bus fare and then had to, once she walked to the back of the bus, she had to re-enter because they pay in the front, but they got to get in the back, and then the bus takes off and they leave them. And that's what happened to her. Or perhaps the movement started on the day when a Black professor by the name of Joanne Robinson, a female, sat at the front of a nearly empty bus and then ran off the bus in tears when she was screamed and yelled at by the driver that, you know, even though it's empty, nigga, you still don't sit in the front. Or perhaps it may have happened. The movement started today in the early 1950s when a Black pastor named Vernon Jones tried to get other Blacks to leave. Oh, God, you're trying to get other Black people to do something besides be scared or rob somebody. Good luck. Blacks to leave a bus to protest after he was forced to give up his seat to a white man, only to have the Black people tell him, you ought to know better. Those are the kind of Black people I care not to deal with. The story of the Montgomery bus boycott is often told as a simple, happy tale of little people triumphing over seemingly insurmountable forces of evil. The truth is less than romantic and more complex. The simple version of the story leaves out some very important people, such as Joanne Robinson, of whom Martin Luther King would later call or say that she, perhaps more than any other person, was active on every level of the protest. She was an educated woman, a professor at an all-black Alabama State College, and a member of the Women's Political Council in Montgomery, Alabama. After her traumatic experience on the bus in 1949, she tried to start a protest, unlike me, but was shocked when other Negroes, other women, members of the Women's Political Council, members brushed her off and told her that, that's just a fact in Montgomery. Something like my brother told me. I was like, well, how do you live a place where you can't drive? We just don't go there. I'm like, and you born and raised in California? It ain't me and me. All right, let's continue. After the Supreme Court's the Brown decision in 1954, you know, the segregation with the education and all that little good stuff, she wrote a letter to the mayor of Montgomery, W.A. Gale, saying that there has been talk from 25 or more local organizations of planning a citywide boycott of the buses. By 1955, the Women's Political Council had plans for just such a boycott. Community leaders were just waiting for the right person to be arrested, a person that would anger the black community into action. Oh, my God. Who, thank God, finding that today? I mean, if it's not a young little boy coming back from buying some candy and niggas just sit, all they do is wear a hoodie and call it a, I'm supporting you. All you're doing is taking a picture of your dumb ass in a hoodie. What is that? That's not supporting him. That's just you taking a picture in a hoodie. That's some dumb shit. All right. I lost my place. Because that's what we do now. It's like, oh, let's join it so we can look cute. You know, same as Jesse Jackson. Let's join it. Al Sharpton is nappy head itself. Let's join it so we can just look cute. We just want to look like cute Negroes. We don't want to look like effective Negroes. We just want to be cute Negroes. Like Beyonce, let's just look cute doing nothing. There we go. Where were we? Anger the black community into action. Who would agree to test segregation laws in court? Okay, that person would have to agree to have balls to say, you know what, I'm going to get arrested, I'll take the shit, if I got to get punched, if I got to go to jail, I'm going to do it to stand up for my people. And who, most importantly, was above reproach. Well, basically, they tried that with a young 15-year-old named Claudette Colvin. She got arrested, and they found out she was preggo and wasn't married. So, next, Rosa Parks was probably the most romanticized personage of the Montgomery cast of characters. She is often portrayed as simple, a simple seamstress who, exhausted after a long day's work, just couldn't get on the bus, and the white man told the Negro girl to get on the bag. She said no, and then she was arrested. But here we go. On Thursday, December 1st, so she was part of a bigger organization. She was part of the NAACP. She was an NAACP worker who had taken a special interest in the Prego girl and said, you know what, well, Prego or not, you shouldn't have had to get up. So on Thursday, December 1st, 1955, Rosa Parks boarded the bus, refused to get off, and was arrested. Amazing. And E.D. Nixon heard that Rosa Parks had been arrested. He called the police to find out why, and they said, look, it's none of your business, nigger. And so the nigger got him a white attorney, and they said, oh, Mr. White Man, she was arrested just because, you know, niggers, they're trying to be bold out here, and she would not move for the white man. So that night, Joanne Robinson put plans for a one-day boycott into action. She
got everybody together. They met in anonymously. They started sending out flyers. They got some ministers together, and let's see, they took control. And then the dude that they had that night, I guess he tried to play Billy Badass Negro, and they didn't like him, so half the people left. So they got back together. The people that did stay, they say, look, this is more important than Billy Badass. Let's try to get it together. So a nice, handsome man named by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King, the minister of the decayed Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, like, I don't know. Dexter Avenue Baptist Church came upon this. He said, look, if we can get 60% of the Negroes not to get on the bus, we're going to be good. And that's what he did. And basically, he said he saw the buses starting to pass by his house, and they were empty. And Dr. Martin Luther King got a rose. That's my man. What's the matter with you people? Anyway, the boycott began. No one expected it to last very long, but it did. Martin Luther King started what he called the MIA, which is the Montgomery Improvement Association. And they elected Dr. King as the president. And the next decision was whether or not to end the boycott, because of one day they had very good success. And Dr. King said, no, we're not going to end it. We're not going to end it until we have equal rights. Boycott began. So let's see. So basically what they went from was, okay, Negroes, okay, you won't get on the bus, all right. So they figured out the Negroes, the people that did have, or the private taxi company that were owned by the black people, they were only charging them like a dime or something. And then, of course, they used the law to change the law that it's a felony if you charge any less than 45 cents, which is the same as a bus. So white men started doing that, then they resorted to violence. And long story short, the same whites tried to end the boycott in every possible way. One often used method was trying to divide the black community, of course. On January 21st, 56, the city commission met with three non-MIA black ministers and proposed a compromise, basically telling everybody that, hey, the boycott ended, sending letters and stuff, and it basically was a lie. And through the media, they were able to trick half the people in Montgomery, and they almost fell for the trick, and it didn't work. Through the media, despite all the pressures to end the boycott, blacks continued to stay off the buses. One white bus driver stopped to let a lone black man in a black neighborhood look in his rearview mirror. He saw an old black woman with a cane rushing toward the bus. He opened the door and said, you don't have to rush, auntie, I'll wait for you. And the woman replied, in the first place, I'm not your auntie. And in the second place, I ain't rushing to get on your bus. I'm just trying to catch up with that nigger who just got off. Okay? So grandma was like, look, we serve us up in here, up in this earth. You get on that bus, I'm going to beat you with my stick. All right? This is the diary where we love people, and it is Black People Business Wednesday, where we talk about black people business issues. And I need black people to love each other. People died. People were beat. People were all kind of things I can't even imagine, so we can be free. And today, in 2012, they passed a law so you cannot even vote. That's bullshit. We got to stop it. You got to do something to stop it. But know your history. If you know your history, then you know your past, and you won't sit by when you see people doing the things that they're trying to do today. Don't be politically ignorant. Know where you came from. Know where you're going. This is the diary. We're going to take a break because I got to get a drinky, drinky, drinky. Love, doctor. right. That was the love doctor. And this is, what is this? The diary. It's the talk show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. And I'm its host and founder of the Association of African American Single Mothers, Stacey Johnson. And we're talking about Black People Business Wednesday and Black History. And one thing I wanted to mention, you know, I talked about how, you know, Republicans that have power in the Senate or whatever, they're passing laws. So, of course, they have the majority, so they're passing the laws, these voter suppression laws or whatever. And I said, you know, that's how, and I love the Discovery Channel. And there are some parts of the History Channel that will give you truth about a lot of different subjects. That's why I love the History Channel. And basically, you know, a couple good DVDs that I have basically talked about the evolution, or was it Africans in America? Yes, the evolution of slavery in America, how it became an institution. And originally, you became a slave when you were not Christian. Okay, non-Christians were slaves, so if you became a Christian, voila, no longer slave. Then they changed that because everybody wanted to be a Christian. Then they said, well, non-white, how's that? Non-white. So, you know, easy to tell who was a slave, because if you were not white, like me, you were a slave. And then it ended up being, well, you were only a slave for a few years, and if you committed a crime, then your indenturement extended. Well, that went from also laws, right? Laws that were passed went from being, you get 2 years or whatever. John Henry, he was so handsome. He looked like, I forget who he looked like, but he was the one they used in Africans in America. Now, he was so handsome. And when he realized him and his whole family would be slaves for the rest of their lives, he was very upset. And it went from where you got a couple of years, and he was the first dude to get life as a slave. And not only did you get life, because him and a white dude committed a crime, the white dude got a couple of years, and he was added years to his indentured service dude, but the black dude got life. And not only did he get life, but all of his ancestors. And that, people, is how slavery became an institution in America. Similar to voter suppression laws. Okay, you can't vote unless you have this. And if you can't vote, then you can't vote. And they make sure that only certain people can vote. And it's not Jilly Jane and her cousin. It's not Bob and his friend. It's you and me. It's poor people, it's students, it's people that would vote for this black president. So it's like, it sickens me and makes me want to throw up to know that I live in a country that in 2012, they do the same old shit that they did in pre-1964. And I was born in 1964. And I think my dad was able to vote. My dad, who was born in 1912, and for some reason, him and his wife kept having kids until 1964, and he couldn't even vote for many whole part of his life. But he was in the military, and he had jobs, and it's like, oh, America, may God bless you and forgive you for the multitude of your sins. Because if you listen on Sunday, you know you reap what you sow. And it's sad. And this is Black People Business Wednesday. And I say, you know what, people? Believe in God and pray to Him every day. And we're going to continue with the Montgomery bus boycott and how crazy this country has been to its people. But blacks eventually began to... Oh, okay, here we go. But blacks had already began the fight in court because we know that we have to do it the white people's way to win it for real, at least on paper. They would no longer settle for the moderate desegregation plan that they had first proposed. Now they would accept nothing less than full integration. The city was fighting a losing battle. The blacks were armed with the Brown decision, Brown versus the Board of Education, less than 2 years ago, which said that separate but equal, that doctrine had no place in public education. Surely it must follow that the doctrine had no place in public facilities. In addition, the city was not in the prejudiced local courts, but it was in federal courts. And that's another thing, that the federal courts would be more fair than the local city courts, where Billy Bob Thornton and his racist buddies all giggled about how shitty they treated all the black people in the town, from the local cop all the way up to the mayor. So, Judge Reeves, it is fair to commend one man to surrender his, they overturned it. The Supreme Court judge basically said that it is fair to command one man to surrender his constitutional rights if they are his constitutional rights in order to prevent another man from committing a crime. Because they were saying that if you desegregate the buses, that it would cause violence. And the Supreme Court judge, thank God for him, says that, well, the right to take away one man's civil or constitutional rights so another dude don't commit a crime, punish the dude for committing the crime. And we never have enough time. I think I better pay for an hour so we can continue. But blacks returned, blacks continued, however, to stay off the city buses until the mandate from the Supreme Court arrived. And it did arrive on November 13, 1956. The Supreme Court upheld the federal court's ruling declaring that segregation on buses was unconstitutional. The Montgomery bus boycott was officially over. The Negroes could get on the bus, which they did not until December 21st of 1956. And be a Negro that will stay off the bus if that's what's right to do. This is Black People Business Wednesday. Now I got to pay rent because they clean the pool. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I don't even get in the pool. I'm going to take pictures of all the babies that are in the pool having fun because that's what we're here for. If we can't free ourselves, free other people, then God will free you. This is Black People Business Wednesday, where I love you on Sunday, and we will get it going. Oh, hopefully we will. And I love you. Stay blessed. And I'll see you Sunday. Black People Business Wednesday.